welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, hello, everyone. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. I am so excited to be here with you today. I am really inspired by the many, many emails and DMs I am getting regarding the interview that I did last week with Katie Hansen. So if you guys haven't heard it, go back and listen. Katie is a really active member of Lisa and my membership community that we've been running for about a year. And it is an opportunity to work with me directly and to work with Lisa directly and to get your questions answered in a literal daily interaction with us and with this work, including two times a month that we get together live. We do a three-hour Zoom once a month, and we do a Q&A once a month. And so in any case, the reason I'm jumping on at the top of this podcast to say this is because I have heard from a lot of you guys that you want to be involved in our very next live Zoom, and that is tomorrow if you are one of the core group that listens to this podcast on the day it airs, which is every Friday. And so if you would like to join our membership community, you go to thecureforchronicpain.com. When you see the homepage, you do have to scroll down just about an inch to see the button to sign up and click to sign up for the membership community. When you do, you are entered, your email is entered into the database so Lisa and I can send you out that email right away, and that Saturday from 9 to 12 Pacific, you can be in the group with us. Of course, if you can't make that and you sign up, you will receive the recording with the entire lesson and all of the group work. And of course, then you'll be involved in our next month's Q&A and three-hour meeting. So just wanted to take this opportunity because so many of you are asking how to be involved, how to work, how to get access to me directly in any sort of way. And this is actually a really impactful way, as Katie is evidence of. And so just wanted to make sure to jump on at the top and talk about that. And another reason why it's great to talk about that is because so many of you are walking this path and you are experiencing the symptom imperative, something that we are going to focus on deeply today in the podcast. And so when you're dealing with the symptom imperative, a lot of questions come up, a lot of uncertainty comes up, and the community is just a fantastic way, not only accessing me or Lisa, but accessing the other people in the community, because in the online forum, people are answering each other's questions all the time. And it's just such a tight, beautiful group. So you are welcome to check that out. And I'm going to hope that today many of your questions about the symptom imperative are going to be answered as well by listening to Eva's story and her journey through long COVID and through many, many other symptom imperatives and where she finally landed, which is symptom imperative of a feeling of fight or flight itself, something that is sort of a new and different take on it. And so I'm excited to share that with you guys today. Essentially, what Eva is saying, and I'm going to play you her speak pipe, is that she had long COVID. She said pretty severe long COVID. She embraced this work. She jumped in with four paws and she completely resolved her long COVID symptoms, after which she started getting a pinball machine of symptoms throughout her body. This is normal. We're gonna just unpack all of this in a moment. Whenever people realize they have TMS, they oftentimes look in the rear view and realize that a lot of the chronic issues they've had since childhood have stemmed from this confused interaction between the brain and the nervous system and the body, whereas the brain and the nervous system feel that you are protected by being ill and quiet and fatigued and in pain, because that is the more protective stance than realizing and dealing and looking at your repressed emotional world. So people find out about this work through the door of long COVID or migraines or fibro or IBS or back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain, what have you. And when they go through the door, when they are able to embrace the work, maybe they hear a podcast of somebody who has, you know, completely resolved the symptom they had and it's inspiring to them. They do the work And then they realize, holy shit, actually, those stomach aches in third grade and that fatigue all through college and, you know, the irritable bowel after I had that one bout of food poisoning that should have been fine that lasted for 2 years, holy cow, this has all been TMS. So that is a very, very common trope in this work. Once they decide and know that, they start doing the work with an open lens, understanding that they are working toward healing themselves from anything chronic. Because although there is no cure for human pain and there is no cure for the human condition, which causes us so much pain, there is a cure for chronic pain and chronic illness, because chronic pain and illness are an epidemic of fear and meaning that continues to keep our nervous systems in long-term fight or flight. And a lot of times when this happens and they start opening their lens, what occurs is one symptom goes and another pops up, like whack-a-mole. And you might be listening to this and say, oh my God, Nicole, I don't want to invite that into my life. And I will say to you, I get it. I hear you. But that is a completely temporary state of affairs. And life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. You'll hear me say this all the time. Life is not a choice between what hurts and what's awesome. Sadly, because I want it to be, it is simply not. Life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse, and your nervous system is making that decision countless times a day. And you, as a conscious human, are making that decision countless times a day. So although what I'm saying and what we're going to talk about in this entire podcast today about the symptom imperative might sound unwelcome, I will posit that it is more welcome than the stuck and hopeless and helpless state of chronic pain and symptoms and illness and conditions and diagnoses that oftentimes are fixed. So you might not be having, some people do, but you might not be having the symptom imperative. You might just have had, you know, horrible pelvic pain for 10 years or a bad back your whole life that, you know, here and there is debilitating, or a migraine disorder where you have 12 migraines a month plus and, you know, you're on disability. These things hurt so badly that I will always offer you the opportunity to make a different choice and to do this work and to really immerse yourself in belief and patience and kindness as you do this work and walk through it and know that it is actually the less painful option. So the symptom imperative is this. You deal with the first symptom that brings you through the door. And in dealing with it, in doing the journal speak, in bringing the nervous system from fight or flight to rest and repair when it comes to this issue, you calm yourself down enough to feel safe and the issue goes away. But we are human beings that have walked this earth for X number of years. You have a reservoir inside of you that is full of grief and despair and fear and terror and shame and all the human things, my loves, that we all go through, and they are banked in this reservoir. And if they are not brought down through this patient and continued work, yes, it will come out somewhere else. Your long COVID is gone, but now you're getting migraines. Your migraines are gone, and now why do you have this weird pull in your back? Trust me, that is amazing news. You have it on the run. There's no way the same structural cure for, or even treatment for, a migraine could be the same as for a bad knee. So we are convinced, oh, this is all coming from the mind-body system. I'm in long-term sustained fight or flight. My nervous system is dysregulated. It is making me ill. There is a solution. Nicole is teaching me the solution. Fantabulous. Okay, here we are. It still sucks to get the symptom imperative, but I promise you it sucks less. Life is a choice between what sucks and what sucks worse. Right? There we are. So what Eva is saying, which is a little new and different, is that she had the long COVID, then she had a myriad of other symptoms, and now she has a symptom that is getting her. And we all get to this point where you're like, shit, this one has got me. And so we're going to talk about that, because when something gets you, it's actually your nervous system working in perfect synergy with your mind and your body. So we're going to talk about that. And but it's got her. And what has got her is a chronic state of fight or flight that she can feel. And so I know I'm probably saying too much. So let me play you Eva's speak pipe, and then let's talk about it on the other side.
Hi, Nicole. This is Eva. I am calling with a question about the symptom imperative. So, a little background. I started your work about 9 months ago when I was in the midst of a really, really difficult time with long COVID. Long COVID was very, very debilitating for me, but I did manage to recover from that almost entirely within a few weeks of starting journal speak and learning about TMS and your work. learning about TMS made me realize, of course, that I've been struggling with it since I was a small child. And it gave me kind of an explanation for pretty much all of the physical and medical difficulties I've struggled with on and off and, you know, sort of moving around my body for so much of my life. And I got to a point in my recovery where I really just didn't, how do I put this? I really just didn't believe the pain anymore when I had it. You know, I had a really kind of, I have to say, almost funny ride with the symptom imperative, with all kinds of bizarre physical symptoms popping up over and over again for months, and in very quick succession after my recovery from long COVID. And I've really gotten to a point where, you know, something pops up and it really just sort of cracks me up a little bit, and I move on and it's over. It's sometimes in minutes, sometimes in, you know, a few days. The problem I'm having right now is that the symptom imperative has moved to a completely different place in me. It's not physical anymore. It's somewhere right on the border between physical and emotional. I think just between physical and emotional, it's just plain old fight or flight that I'm stuck in, and I can feel it as a sensation in my chest, and I'm calling it anxiety, because I don't know, I guess that's kind of what it feels like. It's accompanied by, I've had some pretty terrible bouts of insomnia over the past few weeks, which is kind of a newer thing for me. I haven't experienced much of that in my life. And I almost feel as though my brain and nervous system have kind of recognized that I'm just not going to buy into the physical symptoms anymore. So, you know, now this is what we're doing and this is what we're trying. And I'm having a really hard time knowing what to do with it, because even though I guess I mostly believe that it's just another part of the symptom imperative, I'm having a really hard time not buying in. I go to bed every night extremely anxious. I'm at a point where I hate going to bed and I dread it. And I don't even like being in my bedroom. It makes me feel anxious. So it's just kind of hanging out and, you know, in this middle place, continuing to journal speak every day. And I think it is helping a bit, but I would love, love, love any more advice you might have, or any kind of interpretation you might have of how anxiety and insomnia work as a symptom imperative. Thank you so much for everything you do and all you've done for me in helping me to get well. Bye-bye.
Okay. So now you get all the things I'm saying directly from Eva. So what I want to say first, before I even tackle this long-term, this fight or flight as a symptom imperative situation, I want to say, Eva, and every one of you guys out there who has suffered with something that could have been years and years of your life, like long COVID, how amazing. Can we take a moment to celebrate that you don't have long COVID anymore? Like, hallelujah. Like, I just feel like I never ever want to breeze past that, because it's so important that you recognize this, you found my work, you did it, and you don't have long COVID anymore. And then the precious gift of seeing all these other symptoms come and go to the point where, like, they're cracking you up. And I have been there. I have been there where I get a symptom and it is almost funny to me, even though it hurts, because it's just so perfect. Like, one time I was working with a really difficult client who was just fighting me and arguing with me. And I was a young therapist. I didn't have the confidence I have now. And she had terrible, terrible knee pain, unexplained knee pain, which is so common in the TMS world. And one day I was running up the stairs and I was rounding the stairs to go up to my bedroom, and my knee, I had a pain that shot through my knee that was so extreme. I've never, by the way, had knee problems in my life before or since. And I fell to the ground, actually completely without, it wasn't like, oh, I'm in so much pain, I'm going to sit down. I actually collapsed onto my landing. Luckily it was carpeted. And I laughed out loud, because she was so triggering to me and she was kind of abusive to me, and I didn't have the confidence or even necessarily the depth of experience to handle it. And, you know, she had her own issues, I think, whatever. And so I took it on so personally, and I didn't take it on consciously. I took it on unconsciously, because what we need to understand with all of nervous system dysregulation is the reason we're feeling the pain through our bodies is not because we consciously feel our feelings or know what the problem is. It's because the nervous system is repressing that constant, that conscious understanding, and it is being expressed in a way that the nervous system and the brain deem safe, which is a physical problem. So I fell to the floor in this pain. My knee is throbbing, and I am literally holding my knee and laughing, because I'm like, this is too perfect. This is what you're giving me? Like, my nervous system and I have conversations all the time. We're total bros. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, this is what you're giving me. It makes perfect sense. I'm not having this, because this is preposterous and I'm not going to have a bad knee now. So let me just shake it off. I stood up. I literally shook out my knee. It was killing me. I hobbled up the stairs and I just continued to walk it out, continued to speak to my system and say, I hear you. I know that you feel that I'm really, really unsafe. I know that this client is really triggering for me. I know that I'm having probably a lot of connections between being mistreated in my childhood, whether it be by my father or by other, you know, bullies, and this woman feels like a bully. And so I did all that mentally. And then when I had a chance later on, I sat down in my journal speak, because we all know that when you slow down enough to write something, whether you're typing it or writing it longhand, you make space for epiphany. So I wrote it. I did my 20 minutes, just like I tell you guys to do. And I really got underneath some stuff about what it feels like to have this client, what it feels like to be a therapist in general, the weight on my shoulders in general, about how it felt to help people, heal people, the passion that burned within me for this work, which sometimes can feel like an albatross. I got it all out. My knee pain went away that evening. Has not come back since. Worked with the client until she terminated. You know, it was complicated, but it was what it was. And so I guess what I'm saying to you guys is that this is what happened to Eva. Her symptoms started coming in, like when you pull back the pinball machine and it's in your body, like the pinball going boom, boom, boom. You know, I don't know. She didn't mention what she had, but you know, the neck, the back, the stomach, the shoulder, the hip, the fatigue. And it landed in a place where, as you hear in her speak pipe, she says, it's hard for me to get to laugh it off. It's hard for me to take it less seriously, because it's getting me where it hurts. It's bothering me so much. It's keeping me up at night. It's making me feel unsafe. And so this is the symptom imperative. So let me just like take one more moment to define it really clearly. The symptom imperative is a phrase that Dr. Sarno, my mentor and colleague, first came up with in the 70s, 80s, that he writes about in his books. And it details the fact that if you have, quote, more work to do, and your nervous system is still in this sustained dysfunctional place of fight or flight, which the human body is not meant to do for long periods of time. Fight or flight is meant for short bursts to get us out of danger. If you are in that state and you have not lowered the reservoir, your brain and nervous system will continue to send pain signals, inflammation, muscle constriction, tension, spasm around your body in order to divert you and protect you from that state of danger that the nervous system deems more dangerous than your physical pain. So it's going to come out in different places. As you do this work, as you listen to these podcasts, as you immerse yourself in the material and deepen your belief, like it looks like Eva did, you know, you bang them out. You don't take them seriously. You journal speak. You make sure that you get underneath as best as possible, you know, what might be getting at you, why the symptom, you know, aligns with what you're struggling with. And, you know, they move on. But then something happens sometimes, like what's happening to Eva, which is the symptom imperative, which is meant to keep you in a state of safety, works. See, like that knee pain never would have worked on me because I was just too wise to it. I knew I didn't have knee problems. I knew that this client was really getting to me. The synergy was so perfect. How could I possibly doubt? And so it went really quickly. I mean, I think within an hour I had, you know, shaken it off. My muscles stopped, you know, the pain signal stopped firing because I wasn't being rescued by them. And it went away. But I empathize with you, Eva, because I understand when something gets you where you really are scared, where you really feel like you can't function if you don't sleep, where you feel that physical tug of anxiety and panic that just feels so unbearable to get through your day, what happens is you start to co-sign the fear with your nervous system. But there's no shame in this. We all do it. But the reason I'm using Eva's SpeakPipe for the podcast today is it provides me a great opportunity to explain to you why this is happening, to forgive you, because we all simply want to be forgiven for all the stuff that gets us, and to give you the confidence to move past it. So the reason anything sticks is because it's working. When something happens to us that we fear, and the nervous system receives the only thing it can receive to know whether we're safe or not, which is our conscious and unconscious input. We have the ears and the eyes and the noses and the mouths and the skin and the senses. We can interact with our world. The nervous system does not interact with our world. We do. Our minds do. And our perceptions do. And we send messages back to the nervous system. Am I safe or am I unsafe? And what happens when the nervous system throws something in our path that works, that makes us actually feel unsafe, makes us feel like we agree with the nervous system that this state of being works, it keeps us where it wants, you know, safe. And I want to actually be clear because I feel like I'm listening to myself right now and it's not clear when I say safe and unsafe. It's safe in the unsafest way. That's another phrase you'll hear me say a lot. The nervous system thinks you're safe when you're sick because you're not out there being triggered by the big bad world and you're not sitting and thinking about your childhood trauma or your personality, which leads you to betray yourself all the time because you're taking care of other people. All you can think about is your problem, your physical / anxious problem. The nervous system sees this as safe. You see this as unsafe because you do not want to feel this way and you feel uneasy and unsafe. The problem is there is a confused relationship between the nervous system and your conscious mind. And when we co-sign the symptom, when we say, oh yeah, this one is really bad and I don't think I can get myself out from underneath it and it's too upsetting for me not to be able to sleep, and we get into that conversation with ourselves, the nervous system sees that as safe because it means we're not thinking about the things that we can't control, which the nervous system deems as a threat to our survival. So that's when a symptom sticks around. And so what Eva wants is some guidance. How can I utilize the experience I have had, the knowledge I have about TMS and the symptom imperative, to combat this new symptom that I am somehow grasping when I don't even want to? So the first thing I want to say is we have to call it out for what it is, exactly what I'm talking about in this podcast. You literally have to turn to your nervous system and say, this manifestation of fight or flight, this anxiety, this insomnia is exactly the same as those stomach aches or that back pain or that knee pain or that blah, blah, blah. You know, the things that I almost chuckled when it's exactly the same. There is no difference. It's just continuing to try to get my attention, and this one has gotten my attention. So yeah, in that sense, it's not the same because it has gotten my attention, but every other way it's the same. It's not going to hurt me. It's no more, quote, real or unreal. It is no more, it's not going to damage me. It's just a symptom imperative. And every symptom imperative is the same because the genesis of every symptom that's coming through in this chronic pipeline, the genesis is this dysregulation in the nervous system and the misguided communication between the brain, the nervous system, and the body. That's it. So if it's coming through as stomach aches, it's one thing. If it's coming through as this anxiety for Eva, it's the same thing in a different form. So the first thing to do to combat it is to have a real, quiet, centered, confident conversation with yourself that could happen in your journal speak, that could happen just the way I'm doing it right now, and say, I get it. I really am bothered by this and I really don't like it, but it is no different than the long COVID and all the other things that were trying to get my attention that so many other people could be grabbing onto and being like, this is my Achilles heel. You know, trust me, Eva, right now, millions of people around the world are so swallowed by their long COVID that that's all they can think about. And you've already moved past that. That's like a total side note for you right now because you're dealing with this and all the other things. So, you know, kind of having that moment where you know you're just a member of the human race. This one's getting you. Something else gets someone else. Okay. So that's the first thing to do is just call it out. You are the same as all these other symptoms, yet this one really bothers me. So I can really see why I am holding on to this one because I really don't like it. I'm scared. It actually makes me feel scared because I don't feel the same agency around this one that I do around the other ones. I totally, totally get it. So that's the first thing you do. You call it out for what it is. The second thing, which is kind of similar involved in the first thing, is you become the witness or the observer. You know, the difference between reacting and responding to life is reacting is an immediate reaction and response is a reaction after a pause. And that's when we get a chance to make a little space and to become the witness or the observer instead of just in the grips of our reactions to life. And so instead of going right to the fear when you feel bedtime coming, I want you to pause and say, wow, I am noticing that I am having a human feeling of fear. This is a sensation that human beings get, and I'm having it right now. Let me feel it. Okay, it feels like I can't get a deep breath, or it feels like my throat is tight, or it feels like my heart is beating. Wow, so fascinating. Look at my human body having an experience of fear. Wow, okay, well, this is really fascinating. One of the most important things about quote-unquote pain, you know, we'll call anxiety and fear and fight or flight all under the umbrella of pain, is that we see pain as an inherently negative experience, but it's not. Pain is information and it's strong stimulation. So if we can create that witness and we can say hand to heart. So right now, as I'm speaking to you, I have one hand firmly over my heart, the other kind of wrapped around my belly. I'm holding myself tight and I'm saying, okay, so interesting. I'm having this really serious experience of human fear because it's important to me to sleep and this one's really got me. Okay, let me just feel it. Do you see how that is a response, not a reaction? Do you see how that makes a little space for it to not be so personal? Like when Lisa and I spoke on the summer series about my migraines or my back pain or my symptoms, instead of making it so personal, being like, I'm a person who experiences migraines. That's something I've experienced in my life. That's something I understand. Can you guys feel the different energy between that and my migraine? My migraines are killing me. My migraines are owning me. My migraines are 12 migraines a month. Like, I'm a person who's experienced a symptom. It's called migraine because that's the diagnosis that some people give to a set of symptoms like the symptoms that I get. So I have a person, I really get that. I've experienced this. It's a very different energy. And that's the energy we want to bring to anything that's getting you. Wow, I noticed I'm having experience of this headache. Wow, so let's see what it feels like. It pounds in my head. It's behind my eyes. Wow, okay, let me see if I can sit with it. Let me see if I can make it worse and better. And no, this might sound crazy to people who are new to this work. It really actually affects the way you experience physical symptoms to become this witness. It's such a great way to create space. So that's another thing to do, Eva. And another thing that I think one of the most impactful things is to bring this to your journal speak in a very slow and non-urgent way. You know, you'll hear me say all the time, it is a quote from Danielle Laporte, who is an author, and she wrote in her book, White Hot Truth, transformation begins with a radical acceptance of what is. And I held to that line when I heard it, because what it says to me that I need to say to you is transformation is not helped along. Transformation is not hastened by the radical acceptance of what is. It begins. So if you want to transform, fighting and being urgent and saying, oh my God, I better get rid of this, transformation does not begin. Transformation begins when we lay in bed with our pounding heart and our closing throat and our panicked thoughts and say, here I am. Wow. Nervous system really believes this one is working. And guess what? I am on board somehow. Don't want to be, but I have really bought into this. So here I am. And looks like I'm this person buying into this. And that's who I am today. And I'm scared. And I'm here. And I am feeling these sensations. And I'm noting them. And I'm going to breathe. And I'm going to sit here. And I'm going to allow myself eventually to fall into sleep. And I want it to be different, but right now it's not. Right now, this is just where I am. And that is acceptance. Acceptance does not equal agreement. Acceptance means we are not fighting everything and everyone. We are not fighting reality. This is where I am. Remember that the only message that transforms dysregulation in the nervous system is a message of safety. Anything we do to agree that we are unsafe will make the nervous system keep us right there, because safe in the unsafest way. The nervous system would prefer us sick because it keeps us from the things that the nervous system deems unsurvivable. Difficult conversations, interactions with people at work, interactions with family who have hurt us, and the world in general, which constantly leads us to cow ourselves, to just shrink, to be what other people need us to be. But it's fine. That's the world we live in. So I'm not looking to change the world. I'm looking to educate you on how to walk through the world with knowledge and with calm and with confidence and with the message of safety to your nervous system. And this is what transforms all chronic illness. Recall the work of Gabor Mate. Recall the work of Bessel van der Kolk. This is how it works. When we are no longer terrified, our nervous systems calm down, and the pain signals, the inflammation, the constriction, the spasm, it stops firing. That's why people write constantly, and Lisa and I are always reading these emails, and it never gets old, doesn't matter how many years we receive them, which say, you know, I was suffering with this, I was suffering with that, I was debilitated, I was suicidal, I was on the brink of panic at all times. I learned about this work. I accepted that this work is what's going on with me. I listened to the podcast and immersed myself in the material so I could believe. And then I did my journal speak like a warrior consistently. And the first thing that they say is, you're not going to believe it. You'll never believe it. And we laugh because we're like, yeah, we believe it. I'm not in pain anymore. Like, I used to have a shoulder that I couldn't even lift my arm, you know, above mid torso. Now I'm just like my arms all over the place and I do yoga. How is this possible, you guys? My pain signal, like I just don't feel pain. And we say, yeah, because when there's nothing to defend against, when the nervous system does not think that keeping you sick and stuck and in pain is the safer place to be, this is not like a system that has an opinion. It's a switch. It's black or white. It's on or off. The pain signals stop firing because the pain signals are not doing their job anymore because you've convinced your nervous system that you're safe to feel your feelings. And, you know, obviously every podcast I do taps into a lot of the core teachings. And if you are new to this podcast, just go back to the beginning and listen to the first episode and make it part of your daily routine to listen through hundreds of episodes that I've put out over the years, because they all serve to help you solidify this knowledge within yourself and to help you to transform, because this is what we're here for. Life is painful and it's beautiful and it's challenging and it's euphoric and it's all the things, and relationships are all the things, and we are big feelers as human beings. We are complex thinkers, which means we can feel really nuanced and conflicted about things. That's what we're here for. But we're also here to teach our more primitive systems the brain and the nervous system, that the parts of them, the brain stem that controls fight or flight and survival, we are here to teach them that we are safe to feel the feelings that they deem unacceptable and unsurvivable. And when we teach our nervous systems this lesson, we become free. I am a person who was diagnosed with spondylolisthesis at the age of 19, told that I would not carry a biological child or travel or exercise. I'm 51. I am an athlete. I run and bike and, you know, do anything I well please consistently on a daily basis. My body is strong. My MRI looks exactly the same. My spondylolisthesis was never the reason for my pain. All the other symptoms that have flowed through me do not stick, because I understand that they come through because they're information. My nervous system is working beautifully. It says, here's a stomach ache, because are you really sure you can handle this presentation you're supposed to give? It's very dangerous to give a presentation. You're so exposed. What if people don't like you? What if people think you're dumb? What if people criticize you just like your dad did? What if people don't get well and you have to sit with that tonight in bed and think, I'll never make a difference? My nervous system sees that that number of things that I just listed as so dangerous. How about a stomach ache? You don't even have to go. And I get to say, thank you. I get that you are operating in perfection. I get that those things you just listed, my triggers, my pain from childhood, my own potential personal failings, are so perceived as deadly that this stomach ache is the safer option according to you. According to me, I know who I am. I know it will also hurt. I can handle it. Let me sit with that. Let me journal about it. Let me do whatever it takes to show you that I can go. I don't need the stomach ache. And if I can't get my nervous system to relent because it's just too convinced that that presentation I'm about to give is dangerous, I can take a deep breath and say that I'll go with the stomach ache. The stomach ache and I will go together. I'll put the stomach ache in the back of the car, just like Elizabeth Gilbert talks to us about how to handle fear on a road trip. I'll put my stomach ache in the back. I'll buckle it in. I'll say, obviously, you're not ready to quiet down, so you're coming. Let's go do this together. And invariably, as I walk through my life like this, the proverbial stomach ache or whatever else it is, it subsides. Once I get into action and my nervous system goes, oh, yeah, she just presented. And yeah, a couple things did happen that were a little conflicted. And okay, we're safe. Then the next time I make a presentation like that, I don't get the stomach ache. And that's how life works, my loves. That's how this process works. So thank you, Eva, for being so articulate and really being with us on this journey and helping us understand another way that the symptom imperative can manifest itself. And thank every one of you out there who is doing this work so bravely, so boldly, allowing a lifetime of medicalized thinking to gently sit in the back seat. We are not looking to banish the Western medical model. I believe in it. I need it. I want it. I want it for my children. I want it for myself when it's necessary. But when it becomes clear to me that the symptom is not something that is cured by a surgery, a pill, a procedure, when it is chronic, when it is subtle, when it is confusing, I pause and I look at my TMS modality. I look at my theory. I look at the practice that has evolved over 20 years that has resolved, I mean, at this point, it's got to be millions of people's chronic conditions. And I say, okay, as long as I'm being responsible and getting checked out, which I always do if it's something new and I really fear that, you know, I need a medical intervention, as long as I've been checked out, let me apply this work to regulate my nervous system and to tell my system that I'm safe to be in this world, even though this world is a scary place. Because in the world of what hurts versus what hurts worse, it will always hurt worse for me to be in the dark and in chronic anything. So I am empowered to make a choice. As Dr. Sarno always said, my greatest prescription is knowledge. And that's what I'm here to give you. So I love you guys. I hope today is a good day. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please do me the great service of going over to iTunes and rating and reviewing it. It brings new people to the podcast, and that is so important to me. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. I send you big love. Bye-bye.